This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio, another Town Hall Academy here at the ASTA 2025 conference. We're having a good time. We're doing a ton of great interviews, and the training here is just like off the charts. A lot of good things happening. Thank you for being here. We can't do it without you as our listener. We hope and try so hard to give you very powerful episodic education to lift you no matter what job it is that you have in this wonderful automotive repair industry. And keep your ear to the ground, because we're getting ready to announce our listening app exclusively in for the network podcasts and exclusively for you. Here's a great word from our sponsors.
Hey, did you know that Napa Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com.
Ready to optimize with today's class? Boy, listen to an episode we did with David Boies. Great program. Roll out a training plan for your automotive shop. In just 5 minutes daily, boost knowledge, retention, and improve team performance. Start seeing results today. Join your peers at todaysclass.com.
Shop owners, stop juggling multiple marketing tools. Kukui's integrated platform, they deliver 4 times better website conversions, automated follow-up, and real-time ROI tracking. Get industry-leading customer support with Kukui. That's KUKUI.com. You're probably tired of chasing new customers who never return. We understand. Pit crew loyalty ends the one-and-done cycle, turning first visits into lasting, reliable revenue. On the web at pitcrewloyalty.com.
Hey, welcome back. In the studio is two geeks. Okay.
Fair.
Can I call you two geeks?
Take it.
It's Jeff Jackson, the Vice President of Sales, and Connor Tracy, Kukui's Director of Partner Development and Product Evangelist.
Yes, sir.
And before we turned on the mics, they're geeking to me. I can see the temperature in the house. I'm getting ready to play a song for my daughter, I think. The device in the room.
Wake her up with the Barbara Ann by the Beach Boys.
Barbara Ann. So do you guys stay up at night trying to figure out how you can automate everything in your life?
Connor does, I know for a fact.
Yeah, the YouTube stream for automation videos, and yeah.
You geek on that.
We'll put it this way. When I get a quarter mile from the house, on my CarPlay screen, my garage door pops up so that it can be opened. It also is automated so that when I reach that quarter of a mile, it just opens anyway.
Keep in mind, this whole conversation started because Carm was excited that his lights in the studio had a remote.
Right.
So that's where that began.
Come on,
Don't call me out on that. You were excited. You were genuinely excited about that.
And I'm and I wanted to get the remote back from Tracy so that I could show you all the different color changes and the brilliance and the bright. And it's the first time we're using key lights in our studio as we travel. It only took a few years to figure this thing out, because wherever we would go and broadcast from, sometimes we'd get a room that was dark, you know, in the back of a hotel. And it was very difficult to light. We had small lights. We never had big ones. So yeah, my lights have a remote.
It's exciting. It's an exciting
and
day.
So does your garage door. Does your stove have a remote too?
It's coming.
It is. yes. I can actually access my stove by my phone.
I don't want to know. Hey, hon, what's for dinner? I'm sorry. Let me find out.
Yeah. No, you can literally like preset the oven and yeah.
Oh my God. I have a Keurig coffee pot that has a Wi-Fi connection. Mm-hmm. I've never used it.
Look at you.
See?
And it's the one when you put the pot in and you close it, it reads the QR code.
Yep.
And it tells you what brand it is. And it says, we'll brew it based on manufacturer's brewing specs.
Wow.
It says that we not only don't have you grind or put water in this anymore, we now no longer trust you to just push start. We're just going to go ahead and handle this from here.
Oh my God, I know. Well, okay. We're here to talk about websites. We're here to talk about SEO maybe and GEO maybe and all of these really cool acronyms that we have as business people not only have to know, but yeah. We're being bombarded by a lot of new stuff. And when Connor and I were chatting, because I wanted to have him in the studio, and Jeff, what are we going to talk about? And I believe we're spending a ton of money on marketing, on our websites, Is there anything when you work with your clients to say, we can see all this inbound stuff. We know what you need to have on our website. And we can also tell you if you're getting your money's worth.
You know, that's been really critical to Kukui all along, is the integrations that we have with shop management. At this point, we have almost 65 different shop management system integrations. And that's how we truly measure the success or ineffectiveness of marketing. We don't live in a world of sunshine and rainbows, because nothing is rubber stamped paint by numbers. Every shop is different. Their needs are different. And none of those are finite throughout time either. So for us, that North Star metric that we use to measure the success of any of our marketing efforts, whether it's website, Google ads, we'll talk a little bit about local service ads through Google in a little bit, CRM, live scheduling, any of that, is revenue. And there's a lot of ways to report revenue. We've seen a lot of different methodology. We feel like we have a way that is just kind of goes a little bit more in depth. We use four steps before we kind of contribute any of those efforts towards that lead source. So we look at, of course, a found lead source. Did they visit the website, open an email, whatever that would be through our channels? Then we look to see, okay, did they actually reach out to the shop? You know, did they click to the appointment scheduling, or did they call the shop, right? Did they actually make outreach?
Mm-hmm.
Next, we look at, you know, was an appointment logged? And then we match a repair order to that. So we're actually looking at that entire process from found marketing source to revenue. And unless we see all of those, we don't share that revenue as contributed, because we feel we can't confidently say that delivered that. Now, the brilliance of that is if something isn't working as intended, for instance, we roll out an email campaign and we aren't converting at the rate we want, where is the breakdown? Or if Google ads are delivering 200 leads and four convert, is it a question of lead quality? It could be. We don't know, right? It could be a question of call handling. It could be anything in between that pit stop on the information superhighway in a car in a bay, but we can evaluate each step because we're measuring.
Tell me about surfers. We all surf and we're curious about stuff. So I end up becoming a lead source, but I wasn't ready. So I skip under lead source, reach out, appointment logging, and matching the repair order. Are each of those like 25%, 25%? I mean, how do you?
It's variable between every shop. The first thing is our industry. People are just searching automotive repair, whether we want to believe it or not. People don't want to think about us until they have to think about us. Automotive repair is uncomfortable.
So no one surfs for the hell of it. You know, I got to get my oil changed in a couple of weeks. Let me look around. It's like, oh, I got to get my oil changed. I need it now.
Right.
Got it.
Okay. The modern day website. In the past, that was the case. That was the information source. That's really been replaced by social media now. That's where we go, and we have things like ChatGPT and other resources like Wikipedia as those resources, where it used to be in past times, that website would be that resource, right? You would do that Google search, that Yahoo search, and you would find that. What really the evolution of a website has grown to be is, one, just that kind of window. Interesting is about 65% of people that we've measured that go to websites don't even scroll anywhere on the site. They get that snapshot of information when they land on that landing page, and overwhelmingly, that's on a smartphone, right? So it's pretty.
It's tight,
pared down information, and they're going to decide to reach out to the shop or not. The remaining balance of the website, really, it's a library for Google to find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Google's crawling software, it's software, so it can only recognize letters and numbers.
Can you design a site where people want to scroll up?
You can. And that's some of the brilliance of what we've done, is we have not just been looking at clicks and impressions for our 15 years almost that we've been doing this in automotive. And we have built out kind of a framework how we lay out sites. Because we've seen what gets them, not just getting that click for appointment, but what's actually landed a car in a bay. So there's a lot of psychology behind that, between how we read, how we feel comfortable digesting information, making sure that appointment scheduling, addresses, reviews, making sure that the review rating and the ease to see reviews and the dates on those reviews, that they look current and present, all contribute to that, to removing the necessity to scroll. Because again, people are, when they're engaging with our websites, they're already in an anxious state, right? My car's broken, I'm elevated. So anything that we can do to ease the steps between broken car and them, the shop delivering that estimate to them, is going to increase their ability to create better client success, to create better retention. And it's going to, you know, increase their ability to sell, because we've created a more comfortable solution. It provides that kind of calm, soothing, It lowers the temperature of what is generally an anxious situation, which is somebody's transportation
vehicle. Yeah, who wants this? I heard years ago the term above the fold, and normal Windows desktop, there is such a thing, I think, as a fold, but maybe not necessarily on a mobile device. And that would be what you see on the first screen. Tiny, is there value in putting a 5-star rating way at the top?
Massive. It's critical. Especially now in a world where ratings are placed on everything. When you do a Google search, you see those reviews right there, right? Or if you search on your iPhone through Safari, those review ratings are there. That is the modern day word of mouth is peer review, yeah. Right? So that review rating is how people are instantly judging. Everything we do is reviewed. You go on Amazon, this product is reviewed in 5 stars. Everything is 5-star rated. Pretty soon, I think we're all going to walk around with stars on our forehead for how we act, right? That would be nice because...
Oh my God, wouldn't that be something? You were really a jerk, you know, right. To your
That's
wife.
A star rating. That's
a, and all of a sudden, she presses a button and she gives you a oneer right here, right? And you're going out, you're doing things, and all of a sudden, now you're working your ass off to get back up to at least a 4, right. Maybe, God help it, a 5. So you go out and you start doing all these chores. And all of a sudden,
you get daily review ratings. You get daily review ratings to help lower that bad review, right?
Or God help it, if you were single and you were at a bar and there was just 1 star up there.
Look, there is an episode on Netflix of Black Mirror that is about exactly this. It is literally this.
Stop it.
And it depends on what kind of car you rent. It depends on what kind of house you can buy. It depends on what seats you get on an airline, who your Uber is, who are all that is dependent upon an instant review of your person.
So you need to be a saint.
Yeah, all the time.
I mean, it's happening. I read an article last week that the police departments are using AI. They're using, you know, city cameras. They're using driving telematics to actually look at driving habits. And they're using it to help. They pull behind a car and it's got some way that it factors all these factors in. Hey, do we need to take a look at this person?
OMG. Thank you for all this great information. Let's go to, before we get too deep into the episode, LSAs. Local service ads?
They are.
And is it specifically for automotive or is it for any company?
They just have become available to automotive. Google's releasing these. They're kind of slow rolling it. So they're releasing it to certain industries as well as certain search terms. Like right now it's automotive, but certain things in automotive like detailing and other items are not available and they're not available in all markets. So it's kind of slow rolling. We're really proud of the fact here at Kikui that we feel that we're leading the industry. We now offer and can manage and even help establish a local service ads for shops that we work with.
How hard is that?
It's a really different process. So for local service ads, and I guess let's back up, let's kind of talk about what the heck a local service ad even is.
Sure.
It functions very differently from a traditional Google ad, which is a pay-by-click based on keywords that you tell Google that you want to present search results for. With local service ads, what they do is that Google goes through a verification process and it endorses your business. So when you find somebody that's using a LSA, or local service ad, you'll see a green check and it'll say Google endorsed or Google verified. And the psychology behind that is Google is now kind of vouching for you and the consumer now has an additional level of comfortability. And in theory, that is going to provide you a warmer lead.
What's Google looking for?
So they do a full background check. I mean,
really?
They do a
full background check. I mean, are they going to the IRS or anything?
They do a complete background check, just like you'd be vetting an employee.
Wow.
So we actually embark on that whole process for the shop. And then once they are approved by Google, and the reason why is, of course, if Google is endorsing a business, there's risk for Google to endorse the wrong business if it's the wrong person. So yeah, there's a whole background check process and it functions very differently. So rather than charging you by click, Google uses its AI. It'll listen in on the inbound call because it's call-based, and it will verify if it's a viable lead or not, and you get charged by lead rather than by click. Yeah.
Google's listening to your call, so you have to have a Google number on that?
Google assigns a number to that. Through our process, we work with Google, and then that number will pull into our software, and then we have that same conversion metric I talked about earlier.
It pulls into, but it goes to the shop, but Google... Mother Google, Father Google, God Google is listening.
I mean, they're listening one way or another, but yes, this channel's right through
their AI tool. Oh, it's scary. It's scary to see what happens on my phone when I even had a thought.
We were talking about something yesterday and when I pulled up Facebook this morning, and it was something we mentioned just kind of in passing, and then it pulled up and I was like, okay,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Don't talk about your gutters at home. Honey, got to go clean the gutters. All of a sudden.
Yeah, the gutter feed.
Leaf filter ad. And it's just not one in any stream. It just keeps coming at you. I would love to know the algorithm of, listen, we can't crash through this person. They haven't clicked on it ever.
Right.
when do we stop? Because we're listening for something new to put up there. It's the leaf filters, as an example, who are paying for that positioning.
Yeah.
Based on what they know, is kind of an invasion of privacy, wouldn't you think?
Well, Rick White and I were talking about it yesterday. We were talking about, you know, when you decide you want to take a break from social media. And if anybody's ever done that, what you'll find is those apps start to become the paranoid ex-girlfriend. So,
no.
Oh, I hadn't logged into my LinkedIn for, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks. I just been busy, you know? And all of a sudden, like my email feed was like, this person mentioned this. And like, I'm getting 4 and 5 emails a day from LinkedIn. I'm getting LinkedIn notifications, like with posts and feeds where I normally, it's like, hey, we're here. Log in. I'm here. I'm like, whoa. And I didn't even think about it until Rick pointed it out, because we were talking about, you know, taking breaks from social media. Of course, in our roles, you know, with our companies, we have to engage on socials, but, you know, in personal stuff. And those apps have been built that way to, they act like that girl that you ghosted.
I love that part. It's scary. I'm sorry, Jeff. This is, I think if the common man knew what was being programmed in those deep 10 levels below the earth, in those brainiac rooms where no radar penetrates, and they're building all this crazy stuff, and they're in their think tanks. How do we get Connor back on LinkedIn? And what are we going to do? We're going to drag that puppy back in if he likes it or not. Mm-hmm. Let's write the code.
And so there was a documentary on it a few years back. I made my girls watch it.
The whole Cambridge Analytica thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
We know somebody, I won't mention by name, who got off Facebook. Am I right? And I'd love, in fact, he's here. We need to ask him if he's been tortured at all by any emails.
I can imagine.
Wow. Okay. What didn't we finish about I'm sorry we jumped on a curve left here, but right. Back to LSA.
So the biggest thing about LSAs is setting yourself as a market differentiator. You know, okay. That's one thing that we really pride ourselves on, Kikuyu, is how can we help you stand out in your marketplace? You know, we more and more in a world where you can get auto parts on Amazon and you can do a ChatGPT search and find out what shops in your area are charging, right? Like there's an attempt to commodify what we do. How do we stand out, right? So things like having a Google integrated live scheduling tool. So if there's, you know, 4 search results presented in the Google map, I'm the only one that I can just easily click that button and book an appointment through Google. Now I'm the easiest shop to do business.
Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Hey, Carm here, suggesting you discover a smarter way to train your entire automotive team. Experience powerful, bite-sized training sessions accessible from any device in just 5 minutes daily. It's perfect for technicians, advisors, and managers alike. Today's class prepares your shop for sustained success by reinforcing crucial knowledge. Plus, add a competitive edge with our leaderboard to make learning fun and rewarding for everyone. For effective training that delivers, turn to todaysclass.com. Shop owners, we know you are overwhelmed with a flood of missed calls, empty bays, and disconnected marketing tools. Kikuyu has spent over a decade building one integrated platform for auto repair shops, one login, one dashboard, and mobile-first websites that convert 4 times industry average. Smart, innovative CRM with automated follow-up, 24/7 online booking, and real-time ROI tracking. With 900-plus years of combined team experience, we fuel the growth of 2,200-plus shops and have influenced $3 billion in revenue. Stop working harder. Start working smarter. Get industry-leading customer support and book a demo with Kukui. That's KUKUI.com. You know, most shop owners feel trapped spending on ads while half their first-time customers never come back. It's frustrating. It's exhausting. And it's not your fault. The industry average is 54% one and dones. We understand how discouraging that can be. Well, Pit Crew Loyalty changes the story. Our clients cut that rate by up to 38%, raising lifetime value by more than 50%. Loyalty members visit nearly three times more often, creating predictable revenue without extra ad spend. Pit Crew Loyalty, where customers stay and shops thrive. On the web at pitcrewloyalty.com.
Are you integrating through an API to someone's calendar?
Yeah, so we have a fully integrated live scheduling tool, so it connects into their calendar, and shops have different levels of comfortability with that. So we can throttle that on off.
You can set parameters.
Yeah. So really the goal with live scheduling is creating Bayflow 1.0. That should be configured how you flow your bays. So you, in theory, should not have to reschedule that.
Well, with everyone wanting to say yes to a client and make sure that they can figure out how to satisfy that client's needs, take the appointment.
Well, so some interesting facts as we were building out our live scheduling tool, and I was blessed to be involved with our product development team in that process, is we looked at it and we first looked at the data about, okay, Kukui's been scheduling appointments for 15 years, and it was the old school appointment way where customers would go to our website and they would click and they would select two times and ask for permission to come into our shop. And then we would get that appointment and, oh, we will bless you with the permission to come into our shop. We will approve your appointment. When I say it's okay to bring the car in, we'll let you come in. Well, when we looked at that data, what we found is well over 10% of the appointments that were coming into Kukui didn't get touched by the shop for one reason or another. Okay, that was an interesting fact. Now, when I talk about numbers, last year in 2024, Kukui delivered $3 billion in revenue for shops. We contributed almost 5% of the entire revenue reported by the ACA in the industry. So 10% of appointments not getting approved or touched by the shop, I kind of had a bit of a Code Brown moment.
But why is that? And is the shop getting that data from you saying, nasty boy, are you looking for me to confirm, send a text? Is that
exactly. So my fear was, in the going psychology of how we had done appointments really till about 2 years ago when the whole live scheduling thing came into our industry, was I will let you know when, you know, you can come into the shop, hold tight until we get back to you, right? So the thought process is, okay, we've got this huge bank of appointments that weren't getting approved, and I'm putting my mind to the revenue that was associated. Now, the interesting part is then we went to that, we looked at that data and said, okay, out of this block, how many of those customers actually still showed up? Because you would think, I didn't approve your appointment, I didn't tell you, yes, it's okay to show up. Hold tight. About 80% of them still showed up. So the reality is not that they're waiting for us to say it's okay to bring the car in. They hit send. They're making ride arrangements. They are already coming, whether we like it or not. So what we need to do is we need to make sure that we have all of the foundation in place that when we can be most convenient for them, when they have said, I can bring my vehicle in, we're ready to take it on. And it's so that having those, each job configured, each time frame configured, whether it's waiting, drop off, how much time we need to do that, and having that integration should make that so it can eliminate rescheduling. That also helps with micro inefficiencies too. You know, when I thought about it, like back in my shops back in the day, a conversation to reschedule somebody to come into the shop was maybe a 3-minute conversation. Okay. But then I go into shop math, right? It's all these extrapolations. One of those calls a day, multiplied by 20 days in a month, I've now lost an hour of productivity. How much more could we be making by selling ROs during that hour? So it's these efficiencies that we're striving to help create, but also set us apart in the marketplace, right? If I'm the shop that's easiest to do business with, and then I do great service at the end of the day, there's no way I'm not going to retain that customer.
I call that an opportunity zone.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm thinking about it. Why would you say no to any opportunity?
Right.
Especially if it's digital, like a website, like a great marketing team company that's a partner of yours to drive revenue. And you've got then to be sure that your service advisor's been trained and is of the right everything to be able to take that opportunity. Even if the customer does it, never calls, sets the appointment, comes in, heard about your place, the old word of mouth I never told the guy, but I've told him enough times I've got a great experience down at Connor's place. And now he's searching, and there it came up. And I remember Carm saying this, blah, blah, blah. And so they book it. Now they come in. You still have to have a great service advisor to be able to handle the inspection report and the timeline. And if it's a courtesy car, whatever it is, that experience, maybe it was a great experience on the web, but now you've got to finish it.
But then we've got to give that service advisor the opportunity to be great, right? So if they're spending their day monitoring a calendar, if they're spending their day, even worse than that, we want to accommodate the customer. So then we're shuffling bays. We're not efficient through our service delivery. So now we're giving that person an hour back. That's more opportunity for that service writer to be awesome.
Right?
And then LSAs do the same thing. So to go back to the prior question, the LSAs are that now another market differentiator, right? So when they search and in my marketplace, if I'm the shop that says Google says that they verify me, hey, I'm trusting Google because I'm doing a Google search, right? So Google is some sort of voice of authority. I've got these Google reviews, which is peers talking, telling Google that we do well. And now Google says that this is the shop for me. Okay. Because I don't know who the shop for me is. I'm John Q. Public. I don't know anything about my car. All I know is that it's angry right now, and I need it to not be angry because my kids need to get to where they need to get, or whatever that equation is, right?
Did you hear Connor just say some kind of authority in describing Google?
It is.
Jeff, years back, we would use Google and we would almost trust it to the letter. And now today, with AI and their quick interpretation of your concern, question, thought, idea that you're looking for, who knows? I'm not 100% sure that some of the information that comes up is accurate. It's right, because there's so many content creators out there that can come up in a Google search, but some kind of authority. And that just rocked me there for a moment. Jeff, as I was saying, years ago, I think we trusted. Is Google still that trusted source?
I think it is. I think it's only growing. I don't think that there's anything to dispel that or to make it think that. I mean, I think people know when you Google it, depending on who's Googling it and where you're Googling it, different information can populate. But I think for the most part, people trust it.
So if I do an LSA, I got a green check, you're almost trusting Google to almost a higher degree.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that data set is larger. Now with the advent of AI, there's more data being compiled in different ways. Not only that, you can ask ChatGPT, hey, where should I take my shop in the area? Who's the best rated? Who, you know, you can ask ChatGPT, and it gives you, it's not an opinion. It's postulated as an opinion, but it's using data, right? It's looking at consumer ratings. It's looking at overall satisfaction across different platforms. I mean, so.
In seconds. I'm sorry. I am just blown away by that.
Yeah.
Just blown away how fast. Are they using quantum computers or what? Any idea?
They're using massive amounts of GPUs. That's why if you have kids that are gamers or anybody that's into gaming, that's why a graphical processing unit used to be a couple hundred dollars and now are thousands of dollars, because the compute power that's been required is massive. I mean, that's why the world has an overall, the power demands are what they are. Part of the reason why during COVID, why there were chip shortages for automotive vehicles is what the automotive companies bid to build the silicone for those chips was a lot less than what NVIDIA was bidding to build these GPUs.
It's amazing to hear all of that. Yeah. But let's stop and think for a moment. If we're doing LSA, if Google certifies us, God blesses us to the world, why do I need a website?
Because the website is your library of information for Google to understand who you are, where you are, and what you do. Google can't just understand that. It'll get little snippets and reviews, but your website has two functions. That main page where they land, that's for the consumer. The rest of the website, which is pages and pages of content, that's a library as Google software crawls to understand who you are. And those pages need to be formatted in certain ways so that Google can very quickly and easily understand who you are, what you are, and it needs to be unique information. If your website is made up of pages of information that are on hundreds of other websites that are not unique to you, Google's going to keep it moving because now it hasn't found anything else new about you. It's seen that on 13 other websites. Okay, fine. I'm moving on. Really, it's a twofold thing, that all of those back pages that make up a website, our Kukui websites now, as we build them, they have somewhere between 100 to 150 back pages that are indexed and logged with Google so they can be seen for whatever services and vehicle types that shop wants to be viewed for. That's what those are there for. It's that library of information. And Google's not just using that. Also things like NAP consistency, name, address, and phone number consistency, really important information on your website to do that. A lot of shops don't know that, but there's also hundreds of rating agencies throughout MapQuest. It still exists. How it exists is that it reports name, address, and phone number information to Google. Yellow Pages. There's hundreds of those agencies that also report name, address, and phone number. Those really assist in map visibility, but your website also is partially a hub for that.
So if I walked up to the Kukui booth here,
yeah,
and I said, Connor, Jeff, name one thing that my website has to have that I need to go back and look at. You don't even look at their website. What would you tell them has to be on page one, homepage?
It needs to show who they are. It needs to...
How about a picture of the team and the owner?
It needs to be familiar.
I look for about stuff. That makes me curious. What's the team like? Who's the owner? Is there a team picture and do they look semi-happy? Yeah. Do they look professional? And I see some of that migrating to the homepage. Mm-hmm.
So that above the fold, the kind of critical information that we say that absolutely is have to have. You need to have a logo. Typically placed top left, we read top to bottom, left to right. So from a psychology standpoint, from a comfortability standpoint, have that present there. Recognizable logo. Okay. You know, branding is really important, especially from a retention standpoint. Again, a familiar picture, picture of the shop, picture of the crew, all that kind of stuff. Phone number, clickable. Address, clickable. Appointment button, clickable. All right there. Have your review rating. Have the ability to click on that review rating and read reviews. So if that's the critical information I need, where you are, how do I get a hold of you, and can I trust you? If I can answer those three questions, chances are I'm going to bring my car in. Because those are the only things I need to feel okay with bringing you and having my service done.
So I meet shop owners all over the country. I want to have them on my show. I had a brilliant discussion with them. They're on fire doing things. I can't find their website. And I say, are you serious? And then one of them, Google search, business side, click on the website, it goes to Facebook. And I wonder why.
Right.
Because we don't want to invest in a website. We're too lazy to invest in a website. We think Facebook is it. What should I be, as an outsider, as a consultant, as an observer of the industry, why is that happening?
The excuse generally is that I'm busy. I don't need it.
I see. Okay. All right.
What if you weren't? Okay. So what if we've discovered in the last 5 years that outside market forces can have massive shifts in how busy or not busy we are?
You would almost think the way the industry is being enveloped, consolidated. I mean, there's some bigger players out there, and there are some really successful top shops that are now in their second, third, fourth, fifth shop, and they're spending. I remember I did an episode with Chris Cotton, and he bought a shop in Durango, Colorado.
Yeah.
He mentions the fact that he spent marketing money as a percent of sales as if he was a $200,000 a month shop. And he went from 125, that spend, 250. And when I did this episode with him, he says, well, this month we're going to hit 180 because I've been spending like I was 200. What a powerful.
It is, but we have a problem in this industry, especially when it comes to Google ad spend. There's been a lot of providers that have created this belief that you need to spend massive amounts of money every month on Google ads to get a level of conversion that generally is not necessary. The reason why is that all of those providers have never been able to look at the revenue that they're generating for shops. The only thing that they can report to that shop owner is clicks, impressions, and maybe phone calls. That's only half the battle. So they're asking shops to have a 2,000, 3,000. I've literally talked to a shop that's in the Midwest, a mid-market. They're spending $4,000 a month on Google ads. And I asked them, I said, is every month are they using that entire budget? They said, yeah. How is that possible? How does your market have that consistent click-through rate for your Google ads? It's not possible. What they're doing is they're bloating those ads. Because the only thing they can report is clicks and impressions, that's the only value proposition they have. Well, here at Kukui, we report revenue. We don't just look at that click and impression. Okay, we've had this lead. Here's how much we've generated. Our average shop is getting well over 600% return on their Google ad spend. Many shops get well over 1,200%. More so than that, we actually look at retainability. We look at if those customers are willing to return from a lead quality standpoint. Generally, what we have found is The other problem is those companies, because the only value they have is saying, hey, we made your phone ring this many times, or we got you this many clicks, then it's incumbent upon them to get those clicks. So what we're finding as we analyze when those customers come over to us and we're able to look at some of those historical data is they're being lead stuffed. So at week three, if only half of their budget's being used, that provider is then rebidding their ads for 10 times what it should be, or they're reaching outside of their market where they shouldn't be. So yes, did I get clicks and impressions? I was talking to a shop in Cincinnati and I did a search in their area and I can spoof Chrome to look like I'm in a different geographical area. I had a Google ad for a shop in Cleveland come up. That's 3.5, almost 4 hours away. So I called that shop after I got off of that meeting with that shop. And I said, hey, I know you don't know me. I'm Connor with Kikui. I got a question for you. I stumbled across one of your Google ads. Can I guess how much you're spending a month? And the guy, sure, I guess. I said, you're spending probably $1,500, $2,500 a month on Google ads. He goes, how the hell did you know that? I said, well, I can tell you how. I said, because they put your target map, not 5 miles, not 10 miles, which are your normal areas that you should be delivering the leads for your shop from. If I had clicked on that ad when I was in that meeting with that shop in Cincinnati, I would have cost that shop about $5 for that Google click, right? Nobody's driving 3.5 hours to have brakes done because that was my search term.
What was it on? 500 miles or something?
Yeah. I mean, they're complete one.
But isn't it the fault of the owner when he decides to set his parameters?
But they're not setting the parameters. They're basically the company that's running their Google ads.
Okay.
They're basically telling them, hey, this is what I want to run Google ads
for. They basically made a mistake, though.
And they're trusting that that's happening. I would love to think that it's a mistake, but this wasn't the only time I've seen it.
Oh.
Because those companies that don't have that conversion metric, what keeps us honest here at Kikui is there's the revenue. If we spent $2,000 a month and I delivered 5 leads and it only brought them $1,500 in revenue, I've become an expense.
Okay. So help me understand the depth of a marketing company doing Google ads. Mm-hmm. Are they earning a percentage of that, or it's just a flat fee they're paying?
It's billed in different ways. So we, for instance, we bill 20% on top of whatever Google bills. And that's... So some do it differently. So some will do a flat fee per month and some do it.
So here's the story. You have to pay attention in a very big way how large a geographic area that your Google ads is supposed to cover. And if it wasn't for you 3.5 hours away, see that and then pick up the phone.
And if the only data that you're getting is Google's AI generated reporting from that provider, why aren't
you're happy?
Yourself?
You're happy you're getting all these clicks, but you're wasting your money. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So recruitment is a lot that we've been talking about is gaining.
Yeah.
What should or could we do, website, CRM, et cetera, for retention?
Massive amounts. So one, I joke with shop owners, you know, and I talk to shop owners every day. And, you know, my experience is I spent 20 years in shops. First and foremost is with CRM. I use this analogy, but even to this day, and I haven't been working in a shop for about 6 years, but when it snows,
do you miss it?
There's days when I'm on my third meeting about having a meeting. I'm like, man, I would really love
Listen, Jeff,
to go out and hammer on a car.
Jeff, go easy on him.
They're not all my meetings.
But yeah, there's days where I absolutely miss it. I've done it my whole life. I mean, I started working on cars in a shop at 12 years old. So that's the core of who I am. So yeah, but I'm blessed. Like if I want to go visit a shop any day of the week, I can go hop in the car and go visit a shop. So if I need to be in the environment with my people, singing the song of my people, which is the air hammer, I can do it. So
isn't
I'm
that
very
cool?
Blessed.
Honey, I need a fix.
Yeah.
I got to go smell tranny fluid.
I did it last week. So last Friday, we live in a town that's got a very successful high school football team. My daughter's a varsity cheerleader. We don't do bye weeks at our high school. So we didn't have a scheduled bye week. So we put it out to everyone in the Midwest. Hey, who wants to play one of the best teams in Michigan? Great. A team in Ohio decided to raise their hand and take that on.
All right.
So they're in the Columbus area. It's almost 5 hours away from us. You know, I'm talking to Jeff. Jeff's like, yeah, you took the day off going to the football game. I said, yeah, I'm going to stop over in Dayton. He's like, you know, that's not anywhere near there. I said, yeah, that's okay. So I, you know, I've got the kids in the car. They're like, Dad, we're going to a shop. I'm like, yep, we're going to go visit a shop on the way down.
Yeah. They knew it. You had to get your fix.
I did. I'm a fiend. It's my whole life.
And it was a friend of yours?
It's a shop that's working with us. Yeah, we wanted to just stop in and say hi.
And you needed to go breathe some brake dust or something.
I did. You know, if I don't have enough asbestos in these lungs, man, like...
They start tickling. You have to go settle it down.
Right. I used to have a saying that a clean fingernail is a useless fingernail, and now I have really clean fingers. So, like, you know...
I got to tell you, part of my history is having been in the aftermarket and the distribution side. And, you know, I visited shops every day, you know, 40, 50, 60 a week. And that's back in the day when the air hose came out, the drum came off. And you know what? On a cold winter day, all the doors were closed. And I just said to myself, I don't think this is good for me. And so I'd walk outside, breathe some air until I saw the level of dust in the doors of the garage go down. And then I went back in. I was so smart to feel that would be wrong. But boy, I've got some of that in my lungs.
I actually rigged, you know, so in Michigan, you get a lot of rust. So wheel corrosion is big. So we were a big tire shop. So, you know, we would grind every bead, get all the corrosion off so that the tire would seat.
Yeah.
And what we figured out is we were generating a lot of aluminum dust. And I don't know if you do a quick Google search as to what aluminum dust to your lungs. It's not stellar. And again, closed doors through the winter. So I actually went out and I purchased an industrial, it's built for like countertop shops, a dust collection system. I ran ducting and built it into our tire machines to help remove some of that dust. Because we would come home with what we would call moon rocks. And that was the black boogers that you would have when you would get home. So,
Did you have a bag you put them in?
No, we wouldn't keep those. But
I bet you they'd be great for compost in the garden.
More than likely. You know, they've got a lot of minerals in those things.
You can pull them and snap them in the garden.
Yeah.
Sorry to make this so gross, my listener.
That happens.
Oh my God, I'm with Connor Tracy Kukui, Director of Partner Development and the Product Evangelist. We can hear that.
So to go back to that, the conversation about CRM,
though. Yeah.
The analogy I use for shop owners is, you know, do you ever have those people that whenever their car is broken, they're your best friend, but you don't hear from them in between? It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, my car's broken. And the guy that they met at the bar that figured out that, you know, the sad part is most CRM platforms treat the customer the same way. They're solicitation platforms. So they'll happily reach out to a customer and ask them to come in for declined work, or they'll let them know that they have an oil change that's due. They're asking for money every time. What do you think that does to that trust bond, right? The overwhelming anxiety people have about automotive repairs, they're just going to try to quote unquote sell me something. Well, if the only outreach we have post-visit is they're trying to sell me something, we're validating that thought. So we've really tried to flip the script with our CRM and how it functions. So much of what we do is really empathetic personal care and messaging. Most of the messaging that we send are things like, hey, this is, you know, XYZ Automotive. We just want to check out and see how you're doing. It's been a couple months. If there's anything, let us. They're not asking for anything. Hey, it's been a little while since we've seen the 2011 Dodge. Just checking in on
you. Hear any noise?
Yeah.
Car still driving straight. TPMS light ever come on? I mean, these are things that go on every day in our world as we're sitting in that seat. And if we're aware of the world around us, the vehicle is around us.
And the whole goal for us then is to mine that investment that shop owners have made. So when I talk to shops, I say, you know, I want you to think about, you know, give me a percentage of the time, energy, effort, and investment you've made in providing the best possible customer experience that you have. Generally, it's 99%. You know, it's the building that they have. It's the parts that they buy. It's the employees that they have. It's the software. It's everything. It's millions of dollars in every single shop, and it's hundreds of thousands of hours. That cost is immense. So then my question for them is, what are you doing to reap that investment that you've made? We just sprinkling BBAC dust on them when they leave the shop? Yes, they feel great. We provided great customer service. 99% of the service that people get in automotive repair shops is positive. But what are we doing to reap that return? So the goal for us is to create these periodic touches of just really nothing conversation. Hey, we're just checking in on you, see how things are going. What that does is that extends that goodwill that we've built. And what we found is organically, it opens up a lot of opportunities. Tammy Shoemaker, who I know that you guys know, I was looking at some of her messages, and this was from about a month ago. And they were like, hey, we're just checking in on the 2009 Hyundai. Want to make sure everything's good. Customer goes, yeah, everything's great. By the way, my Alpina B7 needs a repair. So for those who don't know, an Alpina B7 is a completely coach-built BMW 7 Series. So you want to talk about completely opposite types of vehicles, but they took just a, hey, we really care about you. And I ended up looking at the RO. It was a $400 oil change for that vehicle. And we didn't ask for anything but just showing them we care.
Sure.
The brilliance then is, as we then need to layer in our typical retention marketing, reminding people of declined work or sending that promotion for AC, the rate that it converts jumps up well over 10% because the customers don't feel like they're just being sold. We've shown them that we do care because we do. You know, shop owners, they really do care about their customers. And the ones that don't, they don't stay around long. But the ones that do well, they really do care.
Wow. This has been so interesting. I learned three new words in a level of succession, be back dust. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I've been around for a long, long time. That's the first time. And in my mind, it's just like, hey, thanks. It's been great. They're walking out the door and you throw some be back dust at them in hopes
that they be back,
in hopes that we did everything right. But you don't necessarily own, even though it was the best and stellar best experience of ever, you have a chance to lose it from someone else's efforts of marketing.
Because they're just going to pull this out when they have a need next.
Yeah.
So even there, even if they search for your shop, we have a lot of shops come to us and they're like, why are you running Google ads for my shop's name? Okay. Do you want your competitor's shop to pop up if they're searching for you?
I just got a wild thought. Well, be back dust. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. You know, I just paid for an ADAS thing. I have no idea what the hell that is, but I trust these people. They've been good to me and they don't know what the hell it means. We're living in a world of acronyms. And we share those acronyms to our clients and they walk out and no amount of be back dust will work if you don't take the time and bring the level of professionalism in what we say to our clients. We calibrated your vehicle back to OE specs so it drives straight and it works. And all those computers that help you stay on the road, stay away from people, know that there's people on the side or the left or behind you. It all works. And that's part of be back dust.
We actually just had a conversation about that yesterday when we were talking. We were looking at our listing for SEMA and it said online appointments on our scheduling. And the team's like, well, no, that it's live scheduling. And I had to bring it back to the team and said, hey guys, we know that live scheduling is a term we've adopted in the industry, but our consumers are looking at online appointments.
Yeah. Hey guys, I think we can go on for a couple of hours. It's been a very interesting talk. Jeff, I see why he's doing what he's doing.
Does a great job, Ed.
You got any final words to sum up?
No, just that we appreciate being here. We appreciate your time. We appreciate being a part of the podcast.
Yeah, and, thank you.
Your continued support as well.
We appreciate your support. You guys have done a great job ever since I got into the industry. I've seen everybody with the Kukui beads forever. And I'm so glad you became a partner on the show. And wow, I have more questions than ever. So we've got to come back and do this because it was very, very educational. Very educational. I learned a lot. Connor Tracy. Jeff Jackson, VP of Sales, Kukui. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive repair business podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Get your episodic education on the ARPN listening app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. Also, enjoy the podcast on our Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. Carm is all for advancing the professional automotive service industry. Until next time.